Now you look back here with me in Jeremiah 23, and I want to talk about the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. You know, the scriptures are so applicable to our day in which we live, especially when you read those first few verses. And the prophet here in this chapter, he deals up to verse 8, he deals with four powerful present truths. First he does, in verses 1 and 2, he pronounces woe, judgment on false preachers, false pastors. Secondly, in verses 3 and 4, he promises that God's elect will be called out of all nations and true shepherds and pastors he'll raise up after his own heart and will feed them. And then the third thing he brings out in this chapter is he presents the Messiah, the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the hope of all believers. He's the hope of every believer. He's our blessed hope, our glorious hope, our precious hope. And he's the message. The Lord Jesus Christ is the message of every true preacher. He's the message of every preacher. And then fourthly, in verses 7 and 8, He shows us that in comparison with the salvation of Christ, what Christ did for us and what Christ did for his people, the deliverance of God saving Israel out of Egypt is not even worth mentioning in light of what Christ did for his people. Because that was just a picture, just a picture. Christ is the reality. In verses 1 and 2, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. You know, ever since there's been a prophet, there's been a false prophet. Ever since God set up somebody to preach, there's been those who have been false. That's just the nature of life. You know, you make a dollar bill or a $20 bill, and then there's people out counterfeiting them. And that's the way it is with preachers. As the Bible tells us often, there's false prophets and false preachers. Our Lord Jesus called them wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul says, you know, beware of them that'll creep in unawares. Creep in unawares. And I said, and Peter himself said there was false preachers and teachers among Israel in those days. And then Paul said they'll bring in damnable heresies. And he also said this, that many, many shall follow their pernicious ways. He said, you know, over in 2 Corinthians 11, they calls them the ministers of Satan, apostles of Satan, false apostles, disciples of Christ, ministers of Satan, angels of light, transforming themselves. And then Paul told Timothy, said, they come preaching doctrines of devils. That's what he so called them. Doctrines of devils. But no one spoke more against the doctrines of against the false prophets than Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And he was called the weeping prophet. If you was to look in chapter 9 and verse 1, you don't have to do that, but you'll find him over there and said, oh, that my tear, oh, that my head was full of water, and my eyes was flowing down my face for Israel, for what God's done for his blessed people. And I'll tell you what, you know what God charged these people with? He charged them with greed and covetousness. And that's the very thing he charges them with for filthy lucre. They're out there, they're called hirelings. But look with me over here in Jeremiah. I believe it's chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Look what he says over here about them. You know, they're greedy. Isaiah said it like this. He says, they're slumbering dogs. Love to sleep and slumber. Look what he said here in Jeremiah 6:13. For the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. From the greatest to the least, from the big shot to the nobody, that's what he's talking about. And he said they always gave a false peace. They cried peace, peace, when there was no peace. They told God's people, and look again there in Jeremiah 6:14. Should have stayed over there. Look in verse 14. Look what he says here. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, I tell you, how many people have a false peace, have a false hope? How many people have peace? I've talked to people that's unconverted and know that they wasn't believers. And they say, well, I've got peace. I'm not afraid to die. I've got peace. Now, what they've done when it comes time, I don't know. I don't know. And then he charged them with denying God's judgment against sin. Look in Jeremiah 14. Look in Jeremiah 14. He charged them with denying God's judgment against sin. And this is one thing that the preachers do. This is really, really something they do. And that's the first thing that Satan told Adam and Eve. Oh, listen. God's not going to punish sin. He can't punish sin. He said, oh no, he wants you not to have to face the judgment. You listen to what I'm telling you, is what Satan told them, and you eat of that fruit, and you'll know some things you never know before. And he said, God ain't going to punish you. God ain't going to send judgment on you. God ain't going to cause sin to die with sin. But look what he said here in verse 13, excuse me. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, and a divination, and a thing of naught, thing that's absolutely nothing, and the deceit of their own heart. And look, verse 13, excuse me, I got ahead of myself. Look back up in verse 14. 13, excuse me. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, listen, he said, you're not going to see no trouble at all. You shall not see the sword. You're not going to be no war. You ain't going to have no famine. And you shall have but I will give you assured peace in this place. That's what they said, these false prophets said to all these people. All these people of God denied God's judgment against sin. Todd told me about a preacher that called him. And he said, now you're a Calvinist, ain't you? He said, yeah, I guess I am. He said, you're a five-pointer, ain't you? He said, yeah, I guess I am. He said, you know, he said, I believe just the opposite. I believe that God's, you know, he has to give everybody a chance, and that choice is really left up to man. Other than that, we see eye to eye. Other than that, we see eye to eye. Well, you couldn't get farther apart than that. You couldn't get farther. And that's a false prophet. He wants to find comfort in identifying with somebody that knows the gospel when he himself don't do it. And I tell you, then their message, these false prophets, their message is not the word of God, but their own thoughts, their own visions, their own things that they thought. And again, look with me down here in Jeremiah. Look in verse 16. Oh, they ain't interested in what God says. You know, there's preachers that get up and don't even use a Bible. Don't even use a Bible. Huh? Look what he said in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil's going to come on you. No, God's not going to deal with you severely. Oh, he loves everybody. Listen, preachers tell you, you know, God's got a, God really loves you. I hear preachers say that. God loves you. Well, I'm glad, because I love me too. And He got a wonderful plan for your life. That's wonderful. I got a wonderful plan for my life too. That's what people ought to tell preachers when they tell them that mess. Me and God's on the same page. That's what they ought to tell them when they say that awful mess. They dream dreams and visions. Look what it says down here in verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name. Listen to what they say. I dreamed a dream. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What's the chaff compared to the wheat? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and a hammer that breaketh in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. But I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lights, by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And you know, here's the sad thing about it. We read about all them false prophets. God talked about these false prophets. The world's full of false prophets right now. I mean, they just... One thing, they ain't even close to the Word of God. And the sad thing about this is, because of man's utter and absolute depravity and the deceitfulness of the human heart, people love to have preachers like that. They would prefer hearing the false preachers and the false prophets than they would somebody standing up preaching the Word of God. I've been two or three meetings before, after I preach two nights, they say, listen, we got to shut this down. Can't take your message. Can't take your message. People call me all night, said, oh, what's that preacher saying? What's that preacher saying? But that ain't happened in a long, long time. But that's why, you know, God told them, he said, oh my, they'd rather have a false prophet than to hear the word of God. And then look here in verse 3 and 4. Back up here in Jeremiah. God says this, and I will gather the remnant of my flock. And that's what it is. The remnant. God has a remnant according to election of grace. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I've driven them, and will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And then not only am I going to do that, but I'm going to set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall not fear nor be no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall be thee lacking. And you know, when we look on this vast, vast religious organizations all over, I mean, just huge, huge organizations, all bound by tradition, bound by idolatry, bound by false doctrine. And you know, multitudes of Christians. I read today that 65% of Americans, when they were surveyed, said they believe they're Christians. Said they're Christians. 65%. Would you believe that? 65% of Americans say they're Christian. 8 people were saved in the ark. 8 people. 3 people got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. 3 people. 3 people. And I tell you, but these people who claim to be Christians have no knowledge of God, no love for the Lord Jesus Christ, no evidence of ever having a new birth. And all the popular preachers, and with their message of works and free will, no wonder Elijah said, Lord, am I the only one left? And the disciples asked him, said, Lord, are there few that be saved? But here's what God said he's going to do. He said there in verse 3, I'm going to gather my flock. This is my flock. I'm going to gather my flock. Our Lord has an elect people. He's always had an elect people. The Father gave them to him in the eternal covenant of grace. And everyone he gave to his Son, they're going to come to his Son. They were chosen in him, called in him, loved Christ himself, loved him and gave himself for him. And I mean, beloved, and here's what we know this because of the gospel. They shall all be justified, they shall all be called, and every single one of them is going to be glorified. Because that's what God said. He said, I'll gather them. I'll gather them. And then look what he says next. And oh my, he says there in verse 4. And I'll set up my shepherds over them which shall feed them. Oh, I'm going to have somebody that's going to feed my sheep. I'm going to have somebody that's going to, you know, election's not salvation, it's unto salvation. And I tell you what, when God sends a shepherd, sends a preacher, sends a pastor, a shepherd, and I tell you what, he uses those shepherds, he uses those preachers. And the Son redeemed these people and chose these people, and then he sends a preacher. And the preacher preaches the gospel. You know, and God uses his word. Here's the thing. By his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The gospel is what God uses to save his people. And he uses faithful preachers. And but yet, everybody who hears the gospel, and we preach this, everybody who hears the gospel must repent and must believe that gospel. He said, we thank God who from the beginning hath chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's where he sets us apart. And belief of the truth. And I preach the gospel unto you, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And I tell you what, and this one thing about persons, people who believe the gospel and have repented and have faith has been brought to that. They never stop repenting and they never stop believing. It's not one thing that we do at one time. We don't believe once and then forget about it and worry about it. What it is, beloved, that it's this, that when you repent, you're constantly repenting. You're repenting of your thoughts, you're repenting of your feelings, you're repenting of your actions, you're repenting of your words, you're repenting of your sorrowness, you're repenting of a thousand things that you go through in a day. And then you never, ever stop believing. You're constantly saying, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, my. And then look what else it says about them in verse 4. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall be thee lacking, saith the Lord. You know why they won't fear anymore? Because they know the gospel. They heard the truth. They heard what God has to say. And the true preachers, the true pastors will comfort them. And he'll comfort them with one thing, the promises of God that he gave us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And I tell you what, and this is another thing, they'll be established, and the preachers and the pastors will establish them in God's blessed word. And they'll grow in grace, without a shadow of a doubt, they'll grow in grace and they'll grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that happens to all of you. You don't fear no more. You're not dismayed. And you're not lacking. Why not? Because God's raised up a preacher and raised up a pastor, and he's got lots of them in this country. And every one of them, they feed God's people, they comfort God's people, they tell them what God's done for them, what Christ did for them. And when they get established in the Word, that's why, you know, tonight I went to, how many verses did I go to? Get established in the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, and look here in verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. The hope of every believer. And the central truth of the scriptures. The history of redemption, the story of redemption, the one way to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. And look what God says there in verse 5. Behold, the day is come. When God said a day is coming, mark it down, it's coming. All days, all events, all promises, all pictures, all patterns showed the Lord Jesus Christ and pointed him to coming to this earth one of these days. And in that day, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll send my son in the fullness of time, made of a woman. And everything that was pointing to Christ coming, and he came, and everything now sent from here on looks back to what Christ did. Here he says the day's coming when he'll come, and he'll come into this world. And I tell you, looking for that hour when our Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. And then I'll raise up, look what he said, I'll raise up unto David. Christ was the son of David. And he said, I'll raise up a righteous branch. A righteous branch. That, you know, the Lord's called the branch of the Lord over in Zechariah, called the branch. And what this is telling us is that salvation is of the Lord. The Father purposed it. And I don't like to say God planned it. God don't plan things. He purposes things. He wills things. He decrees things. And the Father purposed, and he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it's the God's blessed will was that God came, when he came into this world, God prepared him a body. Prepared him a body. Made him the Son of David and also the Son of God. He was both of them. And I tell you what, he was made as the son of David. He was a king. A king shall reign. Ain't that what it says? A king shall reign. David reigned. But David, Peter told, said, he's in his grave. But God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you slew and hung on a tree. And this king shall reign. He's a king and he reigns. And God made him a body. And prepared him. So in that body he could die. In that body he could suffer. In that body he could bear sin. In that body he could be our substitute and bear our sins in his own body there. And then look what else it says about him. And this Lord who raised up this king, you know what he's going to do? He's going to execute judgment and justice in the earth. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, do you know, all judgment's committed into my hand. And he told him this. He says, you know, for judgment I'm come into this world, that you which see, you're going to stay blind. But you which are blind, you're going to see. And I'm the one who makes the judgment as who sees and who stays blind. I'm the one who makes that judgment. And he said, he comes here to execute judgment. And beloved, judgment was executed on him, and he executes judgment still to this day. And he brings justice on this earth. It don't look like justice is going on right now. But everybody that dies and die today and will die tomorrow and deny tonight, they'll find out that he executes justice. For his elect, they're going to glory. For those who are not his and don't believe him, justice will put them in a place where they'll never bother anybody else again. I tell you, that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He's Jehovah's servant, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and yet he's God Almighty. And listen to this. In verse 6, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. You know who's going to be saved? Judah and Israel. They're going to be saved and they're going to dwell safely. He said, I give unto eternal life and nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. Now, you know who true Judah is and true Israelite? They're not that Old Testament nation. That was a national people. And only two of them that left Egypt, only two of them that left Egypt entered the promised land. Only two of them. And I tell you what, that was just a picture. But the true Israel and the true seed of Abraham are God's elect. He said, they that are of faith are the children of Abraham. And I tell you, and all of them are God's elect. And I tell you, Christ brings them and saves them out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people on this earth. And that's what he says. He said, they shall be saved. They shall be saved. And you know what? They're going to dwell safely. And then look what he's called. The Lord, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. You know how he provided righteousness for us? By being made sin for us. By living a life that God could accept and would accept. That God would take everything he did. And that God would accept everything he did. And God being holy, he accepted everything the Lord Jesus Christ did. And when he made his soul an offering for sin, our Lord God himself said, because he became sin for you, you're going to become the righteousness of God. Where? In him. In him. Now I'm telling you, old Scott used to say, you know, people have, they talk about having a pasted on righteousness. What that means is that they think it's something that you put on when you get saved, that you start reaching a righteous life, and you talk about imputed righteousness all the time. But the scripture says he is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. It don't say nothing about here about imputed. He is our righteousness. Amen. You know, how in the world could we face God if we wasn't righteous? How could we face God if we wasn't perfect? How could we face God if we didn't have everything that God required? Well, I'll tell you where he got it at. He got it in his blessed Son. And all the perfection he got out of his Son, he turned around and gave it to us. Gave it to us. Oh, bless his holy name. Oh, he's our justification. Has come. The law says, thou shalt, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Christ honored the law. So by my deeds I won't be justified, but by his I will. Huh? And it's his name. Jehovah Sekinyu that saves us. His name is what we call upon. In his name we're called the righteousness of God in him. And then look at the last thing here now. Verse 7 and 8. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say. They ain't going to say this anymore. The Lord liveth, which brought us up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But this is what they are going to say. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries which I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Behold, the days come, and they're here in the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of God, we've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in his blessed grace. And we're not going to talk about being saved out of Egypt like they did by the hand of Moses. But you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. You know, he saved us from the wrath to come. By his blessed life and his precious blood, what is compared to what Christ did for us, what is it compared to them people coming out of Egypt? What Christ did for us and what God did for them, not even comparable. That was just a picture. This is our reality. Those folks died in the wilderness. We're not going to die in the wilderness. We're going to leave the wilderness. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Let's stand and sing that. 42. I believe it's 42. Boy, it's hot in here, ain't it? 42. Let's stand and sing this together. When we get through, you're at liberty to go. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed by the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. See you Sunday, God willing.